It's Friday, February 8th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, folks, I'm coming to you as live as you can be from Indianapolis, Indiana, home of the Indy 500. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and yes, we're coming to you as live as it can be from here from Indianapolis, Indiana, and I've got the show on the road. For those of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, normally I record out of sunny, warm Honolulu, but that is not the case today. It is from a very cold Indianapolis, and I tell you, one thing about Indiana, Michigan, Ohio weather, all you got to do is wait 15 minutes and it changes. But how's everybody doing? Welcome to the show. Hey, got a great show lined up for you tonight. So lots of things going on, really. I mean, a lot. And I do want to take a moment, though, and apologize to the Indiana listeners for the mess up and actually getting hooked up. I had planned on doing a meetup on Wednesday night, and it didn't go. I've been stuck in meetings and getting done late, and the weather's been crappy. It's just, it hasn't worked out very well. But I do want to pre-announce the dates and where we're going to have the meetings next week for listeners. Now, we're going to do a Washington, D.C. meetup on the 13th. So that is going to be a week from, let me look here in the calendar. I'm going to load it up. Wednesday the 13th. And I want to do it in, I'm thinking maybe Old Town. And maybe Susabel, if you can, or maybe someone else that's in the D.C. area, maybe we can come up with a location to have dinner. I'm going to be down in Virginia a little bit, maybe about an hour outside of D.C., so I know there's some people over in Annapolis. There's actually some people in Fredericksburg. I think Susabel's actually down in a little, down south in Virginia as well. You guys give me some ideas on where a good place to meet. And I don't want to have everybody drive too far, but I'm trying to figure out a good central location. But I was kind of thinking Old Town would be a good place. I've always got good restaurants there, but maybe someone has a better idea. But please send me an email if you want to meet up immediately, and give me a suggestion, please. And then I'll make a decision on that. And please feel free to call me Tuesday on my cell at 808-741-4923. Now, the Albuquerque, New Mexico meetup, there's going to be two. We're going to do it on Tuesday. Sam is one of our long-term Ohana here. I'm going to meet him for lunch. And we're actually going to do, there's kind of like a geek meetup. Sam's got the details on that. So he's going to be emailing me that info. Some of you I know are going to be working and probably can't get away for an hour and 15 minutes. But Tuesday definitely is the meetup in Albuquerque for lunch and maybe even dinner. So I'm going to be staying at the Homewood Suites there near the airport in Albuquerque. So we can pick a location. It can be anywhere. It can be Albuquerque's a great town, lots of places to eat. Good barbecue place over there by, where is it? I can't even think where it's at, but it's kind of the central area of town. But anyway, Tuesday, February 19th, will be the Albuquerque, New Mexico meetup. And of course, I'll be announcing more on that as we get closer to it. Hey, I do want to give, my condolences. I hope there's, I know there's many in the family here, the listening family, that probably were affected by these storms that went through. I know I was in Bloomington, and I was actually having our Tuesday night call-in board meeting with Raw Voice, And I got concerned here. I could see the weather coming, and they were saying we're going to get a heavy and very impressive lightning storm, even here in Bloomington. And it was really weird. That day was warm, you know, and then it just all of a sudden just it switched to cold weather right after the storm. But a lot of people sadly have lost their lives and property. So condolences go out to them. And if you're part of the Ohana, my heart and wishes go out to you. I know that Nick Bradbury, the author of Feed Demon, his family narrowly escaped, the storm there in Tennessee. And his kids were actually, he had them in the basement all night. So he has an account on his blog. But I've been in a kind of a funny mood today. I've actually had a couple of eye-raising emails back and forth. I have some concerns involved in some of the things that Raw Voice is working with, some different groups. I guess I kind of want to give a shout out. We got a lot of people in the audience here that have worked with different organizations and probably started different organizations. But is it normal to... Isn't it normal that when you start an organization, the first thing you do is you get your charter put together, your bylaws arranged, get everything set up so that at least you have the infrastructure for that organization, you know, completed before you start moving forward and making policy decisions? Have any been involved that have just bypassed all that stuff and then just went ahead and started to make policy decisions? And how have you worked? What's worked best for you when you have you're an organization that the people are spread all over the country? How's that worked out for you? I'd love to hear your feedback on that. Of course, you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Of course, for those of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Lots of great content. We've been piling it on over there over the last couple of days. And make sure you sign up for a newsletter. You can get that via the third column of the website. You'll see the newsletter link. Sign up for it, and that will get you the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. Had a couple of people say they got doubles again on the last emailing. Is anyone else getting doubles? Because I thought I had that fixed, and I was looking at everything, and I don't fully understand why some people may have gotten doubles. But if you did, please, please, please email me and let me know on that. One thing I do want to point out, and some of you have asked, hey, where's the videos at? I see you put up 6 videos on the website. How come they haven't made it into my RSS feed? And it's been a matter of time and upload bandwidth of being able to get those pushed out. So what will happen is so long as you're subscribed to the video feed, stay subscribed to the video feed for the videos. And they're going to come down in the regular podcast feed as well. But I have gotten a couple of complaints from people saying, hey, I don't want the videos in the podcast feed. So I'm trying to mitigate that as much as possible. But make sure you have you subscribe to the video feed. That'll guarantee that you get all of them. And I'll be pushing up the videos. You see, we upload them to Blip. Then I have to take the actual video recording and actually put the metadata into it and then upload it to a separate location. We tried serving from Blip for a while, but it just was the downloads were terrible. The performance was bad and all the metadata wasn't in there. So I started pushing them to a secondary location. So that's kind of what's up on the videos have been going up. But I pushed 6 or 7 in the last couple of days. There'll be more coming throughout the weekend. Hey, one thing I did, I took some advice from one of the shows that I actually talk about, actually not shows, one of the websites I talk about here from time to time. Geek News Central was originally, mid last year, we were a PageRank 7 with Google, and then all of a sudden it dropped to a PageRank 6, and I could never figure out why. And what I ended up finding out, and what it was, is I had put... there's this thing is called nofollow, and I put nofollow links on all of our advertising, in the show notes tonight. When you look at them, you'll see the GoDaddy, GoToMeeting ads, the hyperlinks. I've got nofollows associated with those hyperlinks. Well, it turns out that what I had done several years ago, when I actually did I was blogging for pay for Marquee, And this was a, you know, full disclosure blogging, and it was in each blogging post. What Google was doing was Google was penalizing my website for not putting nofollow on those marquee links. So I was pretty surprised that just by putting, and I went through the website 2 weeks ago, and I didn't know this. I just did it on a whim because I read, it was actually on Robin Good's site. I read that he said, hey, go in and, you know, if you've got anything you've done that would even be considered blog for pay, and he specifically mentioned Marquee, put no follows on those hyperlinks and it may solve your PageRank problem. Well, sure enough, yesterday, as I was looking at the website, I was mildly surprised that the Geek News Central website was back up to a PR7. Now, that actually translates into traffic. It does. The traffic increase has been, and that's the reason I think I noticed it, was the traffic increase was up by about 500%. That's a significant jump from PR6 to PR7, and I think it's because our content gets interlaced higher in the page results. So if you have anything on your website, any advertising, any type of posts that you've made on your blogs that have links into them that anything Google could consider as a kind of a paid link, make sure that you put no follow. And all you got to do is Google no follow. You'll find the rule or the actual piece of code you have to put in with the HTML. That really helped me out here. Okay, what else have I got in my list? I talked about the weather, mood, organizations, DC, Albuquerque, the home front. Oh, home front. My wife has been very busy while I've been gone. She has been taking some classes, volunteering at school. Every time I seem to call her, she's like, honey, I can't talk right now. I'm in the middle of a class. Or so she is taking advantage of really me not being home. And that's good for her. I'm glad she's out doing stuff. And Valentine's Day is fast approaching. And I'll let you guys all know what I selected for Valentine's Day here when we get closer to the big day. Now, fellas, and make sure you don't forget, get your lady your lady friend something very nice. And ladies, obviously, it kind of helps out when it's in reverse. Did you know in Japan that Valentine's Day in Japan is traditionally where the girls buy the guys stuff? And then there's a retribution day or a follow-up day that the guys do it like a couple weeks later or something where the guys have to quid pro quo, whatever. Okay, well, tomorrow, the team's going to be coming in to Indy. We're going to be meeting up and actually having our lock-in session for the 2 days. My mom is actually going to come down. She's kind of like our, I don't want to say like den mother, but she comes down and hangs out with us, and it's pretty cool. And I appreciate the guys letting mom come down and hang out. And we're going to be doing a video and audio podcast while we're there. So we'll keep your eyes peeled on the Raw Voice site and also on Geek News Central as well. Put it up there. I do want to thank all of you that have linked to the podcast FAQ site. I've actually found some of that today, and I'll go ahead and be talking about it during the show. But let's take care of a little business. Hey, GoDaddy.com has exactly what you need in the domain names, virtual dedicated servers, dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts, you name it. GoDaddy.com has those needs filled and at a great, great price. When you get over to GoDaddy.com and you pick out a domain name or a shared hosting account and you get to the checkout counter, make sure you use the code TODD. That's Todd. And of course, that'll get you 10% off on any order. Or you can use Geek5 to get 15% on orders of $20 or more. Now, I did have an email that I sent out to my friends at GoDaddy today. And I'm going to try here, after I get back from this trip, to have Bob Parsons on the show. And I think it's time we just bring him on, ask some questions, and hope you guys, so I'm sure there's probably going to be a lot of you that want to submit questions, but I'm going to see if we can get him on the show, and we'll see how that goes. Okay, as well, we're having a roundtable on February 23rd, day after I get back, and we're going to have probably some of the vendors from the Consumer Electronics Show we're going to be on, so that should be a great event. Of course, that event's hosted by GoToMeeting. And you guys definitely need to check out the actual roundtables that we've had. Go over to techpodcast.com, check that out. You'll get an idea of how the GoToMeeting application works and how it's very, very handy for having web conferencing meetings. And you can get a free 30-day trial, no credit cards required, over at GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. I do want to thank everyone that sent in some links for the show today. I've got quite a bit of stuff I found on my own as well, so we'll talk about that as we get through it. So anyway, let's move on here and get into the regular news, and then we'll have a couple of voicemails and some email commentary as well. Apple today plugged some malware holes in QuickTime. It wasn't really announced, but the company acknowledged that a bug could lead to a drive-by malware on installations of Windows and Mac machines, and they issued a patch for this. And so now QuickTime version 7.4.1 was the version that had the overflow issue. So when you load QuickTime next time, make sure that you get that patched right away. It took Apple about 30 days to get the bug out after the initial announcement on it, so pretty good turnaround by the folks over at Apple. Next up, of course, is Microsoft Patch Tuesday is coming. On February 12th, there's going to be a dozen security bulletins. Seven of them are going to be rated critical. So, you know, after a relative light Patch Tuesday back in January, there's definitely going to be a barrage here of patches next Tuesday, so keep your eyes peeled for those, and you'll definitely want to get your those patches on Tuesday, because many of these will result in exploits coming out right away, and some of these are actually exploits that are available and affecting programs like Microsoft Excel. I did notice in the last month that my antivirus software was catching more spam email trying to be sent through that had Excel attachments. Seems like Excel has always been pretty vulnerable to exploits, and it's the hackers keep finding bugs in it. On the last show, we talked about that Danish ISP, Tele2, who was ordered to block access to the Pirate Bay and also all of mp3.com. Well, it appears that Tele2 complied with the first order by blocking access to all of mp3.com, and that's the folks that are the Russians that have that Russian MP3 site. And then Tele2 is now considering fighting back against the order, supposedly with support from other ISPs, and they say they need clarification on the ruling, which is telling them to block the Pirate Bay. And obviously that's going to be easily routed around. So this is kind of interesting here that this Tele2 ISP in the Netherlands is essentially fighting back against a court ruling. So I don't know how far that's going to take them or what it's going to result in, but we'll keep you apprised of that. Hey, congratulations to the Atlantis crew. They were they got off on time today. So the Columbus Science Lab is on its way to the International Space Station. So this is, of course, makes the European Space Agency very delighted to see the launch. It's essentially taken 25 years or so for the European Space Agency to, achieve this feat of having this segment up there. So Columbus is the first segment of the ISS that Europe will control through a ground station in Germany. And I believe they're actually sending a German crew member up with the module. So this is a pretty exciting stuff for them. And let me see here. I guess this thing cost 1.3 billion euro dollars. Of course, it was actually probably on today's dollars relatively relatively inexpensive for them, but the dollar was strong when they were building it, so it definitely cost a significant amount of money here. But Columbus is going to be installed on the day 4 of the mission, and total length of it's like 6.8 meters, and with a diameter of 4.5 meters, it has a full-time operation, a crew of 3, and it's using like 20 kilowatts of power, so pretty high power requirements. So, you know, the goal here with the shuttle this year is to fly another 5 missions. So they're going to have to get busy if they're going to make that schedule. No word yet if there was any debris or anything, but they did some initial pictures of it. I got to catch, well, I caught the launch about this time the main fuel tank was going through separation. So I only got to catch that part of it. And I like to watch the shuttle launches, and I was just smacking myself in the head that I forgot to actually get the TV on in time to watch it. Google's doing something very interesting here. And those in the IT industry probably are not going to be really happy with it. But Google is announcing some new corporate initiatives that are tied into Google Apps Team Edition. Now, what happens is there's some enterprise offerings that Google has that is made available to corporations that are willing to pay for the services. And generally, in IT environments, the ITs are really, you know, quite honestly, they're pretty anal, and they want to control what is made available to users within their applications. But Google has added a number of applications. One is Postini to the application, and they've kind of routed it around and not made it so it would be controllable by IT managers. So we'll see how they react to this. They're getting some flack already here, but you know how IT guys are. When stuff suddenly shows up on desktops, they lose their minds. But we'll see what happens here. But this purpose of this Team Edition is to allow users to share documents and calendars securely without burdening IT support. And we'll see if they get raised eyebrows on this. Okay, Comcast users. Well, sorry. You know, they talked about earlier in the year here, or actually late in the fall too, how Comcast was throttling BitTorrent traffic. Well, the cable company has announced, it's quietly announced. Of course, it did not, was not missed by those in the space. They quietly announced a change to their terms of service. And it's the first update in 2 years. And according, and this is what they've changed here. According to Section 3 of the revised terms of service, Comcast, and here's what it actually says, uses reasonable network management practices that are consistent with industry standards. And the company went to point out by their PR people that it's not alone in the practice, saying that all major ISPs engage in some form of traffic shaping. Comcast does it to keep its subscribers from suffering the heartaches of spam, viruses, security attacks, and network congestion. So in other words, now you have little choice. They are going to probably stepping up their throttling of BitTorrent. It is amazing. It really, really is what they're doing there. Okay, over on podcast.cc at Podcast Fresh, I want to thank them for talking about our podcast FAQ site.com. Also, one of our longtime listeners over at urbanoutside.blogspot.com. I'll have a link up to these two sites in the show notes. He mentioned our podcast FAQ site, so much appreciated. Got some more here in a later show as I was finding stuff as I was going through the stuff tonight. Now, you know, not only is the space shuttle headed towards the International Space Station, but there was the Russians launched a Progress spacecraft to the International Space Station on Tuesday, and they're carrying, let's see, where are they taking up? How many pounds of cargo? 2.5 tons of supplies, and it's supposed to dock on Thursday. Now, the prior Progress ship has been undocked from the station, and it's free of the docking port to make room for the new Progress ship. So it's like a traffic central up there, and so that's going to dock on Thursday. Then the actually, that was today. It was supposed to dock today. this is an older article, but the Atlantis is supposed to get up to the International Space Station on Saturday. So we'll be watching that, of course. Over on Hitwise at weblogs.hitwise.com, there was a examination of Google properties, and it's pretty amazing here what they have found. They looked at 20 of the top Google sites and ranked them. Google.com itself gets 55.92% of their traffic. YouTube gets another 16%. Google Image Search gets 13.33%. I was pretty shocked about that. Gmail gets 8.29%, followed by Urquhart, 1.1%, Google Maps, 0.86%, Google Video, 0.74%, Picasa, 0.59%, and it just drops off from there. Blogger gets 0.45%, YouTube UK gets 0.11%. What do you guys in UK use for your video? Where do you guys go for video content that's UK specific? Love to hear that. And then it just goes down farther, but surprisingly, on number 20 was Google Checkout, in the rank of properties here. So everything else drops off from there. But I thought this is a pretty good analysis of what traffic is, where traffic is going to on Google. Okay, Google Phone platform demo is due Monday. This comes out of a Reuters report. A company called ARM, a British chip designer ARM, has kind of leaked that there's going to be a demo of the Google Phone platform. So we'll keep an eye on this. But Google has established an alliance of more than 30 carriers, handset makers, and software firms and chip makers in November to develop Android, which is based on the open software and is open source software and is designed to make internet work better on mobile phones. So who knows, maybe this is part of their plan and their $4.7 billion bid that they said they would do on the 700 megahertz auction. I don't have an update on that tonight. Didn't actually get a look at that. Now, there was something here that I found. I talked about Robinhood earlier in the show, but I found something on his website that struck me as pretty profound. And he actually quoted another website, and this comes from who does this come in from? Oh, it comes from Kevin Kelly, and it's actually in a Wikipedia article by, let me see if where his website is. Oh, what a strange domain, www.kk.org. Kevin Kelly writes, "The internet is foundational level. It copies every action, every character, every thought we make while we ride upon it in order to send a message from one corner of the internet to another." You know, that's pretty profound. It's pretty profound if you think about it for a second. You know, my content is copied all over the place. You all send me email all the time saying, "Hey, Todd, I found your content from Geek News Central and your podcast over on this spammer site." And, you know, it's just impossible to keep up with, because people just, there's like 7,800 articles on 7,800 articles on Geek News Central. So, you know, it's prime, easy territory to go in and for people to steal some, if not all, the content. But it's true what he says here, that the internet is a copy machine. Because how many times, you know, like the news that we're, or this one I'm talking about in this show, I'm taking content that I'm finding on other sites, and I'm reproducing it, copying it, essentially, regurgitating it in my own way and putting it out. And many of you will link to the articles that I have linked to. Many of you will take source material from us and use it in your articles on your websites. And probably this guy found this from someone else. You know, I would imagine his thought process was there. So it is pretty true here. And I thought the statement was pretty profound. The internet is a copy machine at its most foundational level. I think that's an understatement of the year. But it just kind of hit me kind of funny. And love to hear you guys' feedback on this specific issue at geeknews@gmail.com or the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Okay, PC Magazine reviews the Nokia N82, a 5-megapixel camera phone as best. So PC Magazine awarded an Editor's Choice Award and 4 stars to the new Nokia N82 5-megapixel camera phone. So they were really stoked about this thing because of its high-quality photos, film. It's very, very cool. And what is surprising about this is this handset features a Carl Zeiss lens and autofocus. So they're saying in their article, it's the first camera phone flash I've tested that's worthy of the name and lets you take good photos indoors, even of moving objects. And, you know, I'm at the point now, I tell you what, this phone, this camera on this iPhone, it's a piece of crap. I don't even use it. I don't even take pictures with it. It's that bad. You know, Apple really missed the mark on it, and it's aggravating. It really, really is, that it doesn't do. I used to take a lot of pictures with my Motorola. It took much, much better pictures than this phone. And I'm thinking now what I'm using on the iPhone. I'm using Safari. I use SMS. I look at the weather. I play iBlackjack. That's an application that I downloaded for it. That's about it. That's about all I'm using the iPhone for. So maybe it's time for the iPhone to go on the auction block. And maybe it's time to look for an N82. Does anybody have one? And I need to find out what carriers actually have the phone. And I'm going to definitely check this out. So anyone else got any feedback on the Nokia N82? I don't think I've ever owned a Nokia phone. So that might be a first for me. All right, Wizard Media, congratulations to them. This morning they announced that its common shares are set to begin trading on the American Stock Exchange under the ticker symbol WZE. So they had originally been on the over-the-counter bulletin board, WIZD. Now, this is a big challenge for Wizard because to stay listed on the American Stock Exchange, they have very, very strict rules on the price of the stock, a whole bunch of stuff that goes into that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with their stock offering. Now, I thought it was something interesting here that they had, they completed a major podcasting advertising campaign for the U.S. Navy across 28 of the podcast shows it hosts on its network. And I said, only 28? You know, we're literally doing hundreds of shows, and I was pretty surprised that this buy they did was only 28 shows, but they made note of it in their press release here. So, but even more amazing is they've got offices in Pittsburgh, New York, Los Angeles, and Detroit. So, interesting. Well, anyway, good luck with them on being listed. I'm just sure that just opens up a whole. I can't imagine having to deal with the regulatory paperwork for that. Okay, over in GigaOm, pretty interesting article, and I hadn't really thought about it. Okay, you all know when I tell you, hey, go ahead and dial the voicemail hotline and give you the number 619-342-7365. But wouldn't it be much easier, don't you think, with the way we're moving into the modern age, that it would be like Geek News VM, and it would be like that was what you would put in your phone instead of a number, even if it had a dot something at it, ahead of it. Why are we still, and I'm sure there would be a mad land rush, because we're dealing with, what, a 10-digit system now, and of course with area codes and city codes and country codes, it would get, something would have to change. But, you know, I think it would be much, much smarter if we went to a net-based system. If you wanted to call me, you know, it would be real easy just to, you know, toddcochran.ph or something like that, you know, and your phone would know where to get me no matter where I was at. There's got to be some transformation here at some point, because if you think about even with voice IP, what you have today is you have some of the same services that have been available for a long, long time. And I had to laugh here in what he referred to as, he said, telephone service I had in 1984 was in the most ways worse than the service I got when I was a little boy in the South in the 30s. And this is from, he was writing this from someone else. He says, back then I'd pick up the receiver and a lady would say, number please, and I'd say, I want my mommy. She might say, well, Skippy, she was over at Ms. Ferguson's, but she's left there now and she's at Ms. Furry's. Somebody using the phone there right now, but I'll break in and tell them that you need your mama. He said, well, we had call waiting. Then call forwarding, executive override, and voice recognition. I didn't even have to dial. Things went straight downhill from there. This is true. You know, telephone companies are still in these archaic systems. And, you know, while the 16-digit keypad may be the, you know, easiest to use, why not use the internet and different platforms to recreate this functionality that, you know, we had once before. It just makes sense. It really, really does. And, you know, we're going via IP. We really are. Everything is going via IP these days. You know, this many of you that are, pick up your regular dial-up, or not dial-up phone, your regular phone in your home, you're only really going copper until, like, you get to a box where it's, you know, transformed into a digital signal and transferred, and it ends up on an IP network being backhauled to where you're calling. So, interesting concept there. All right, over on, actually another article on GigaOm, cable and broadcasters are aligning to fight the FCC, and we knew this was coming, right? The switch to digital cable isn't just yielding a multi-billion spectrum auction, it's also prompting cable companies and broadcasters to join forces and fight against a government mandate. I was telling you about my grandfather not being too happy about the, you know, the transformation of the television wires here soon. So, really, what are they going to do? You know, they're going to fight this. They don't want this to, you know, they don't switch over because these, you know, these small independent broadcasters and these companies are going to, you know, are going to have issues. So, yeah, I'm sure the cable companies don't mind losing the local broadcast. Really, probably most of us just watch a local broadcast for the news, but, you know, cable companies are facing capacity constraints, so anything that means less capacity on their network is probably better for them. But we will see. There's also some dual carriage rules which are being put forth. Is we're going to have to see how this is going to work out as well. And I don't know a lot about the dual carriage rules, but basically they're worried that people are going to lose, you know, the FCC is actually where people are worried people are going to lose their local programming. Me, personally, I could really care less, to be honest with you. I know some of you probably want the local news, but many of you, local really isn't local. I know my mom's local news is not local. It's a station that's 60 miles away and rarely, if any, ever talks about content in that local, in her town, where it's really prevalent. So this is where new media people could come in and, you know, if you're in a small town, you know, do some news on your small town. Do a, you know, bi-weekly or trice-weekly report. If you think about that for a second, let's say you live in a small town of 20,000 people and you go out and cull the news for your community and you do a little mini broadcast three or four times a week, you could gain a significant following right within your own town of reporting on the news. And this could be easily monetized and you could easily support yourself on a small base of listeners. You know, that was part of our idea behind podcasternews.com was small community-based news segments, something that we've always wanted to expand. And I would love to have, you know, I would support anyone that's wanting to do some local news audio or video programming. And come over to Podcaster News. We'll help you get hooked up and get connected and provide you some hosting. And, you know, let's start making an impact as new media creators in the space. I think we're in a good time here, folks. We really, really are with this transition going on. You know, let's move people over to the internet and get them watching the news there. And why don't you provide it? Okay, AnySim is available for this version of AnySim 1.3. Unlocks the iPhone that's basically baseband 4.03_13_G, whatever that means. But anyway, it unlocks the latest version of the iPhone, and some restrictions apply. I haven't read through this very close, but if you're looking to upgrade your iPhone, it looks like you're going to be able to do that. All right, there's a new iPhone and iPod Touch Safari exploit has been discovered, and there's not a lot of information out on this except that it's similar to a previously patched TIFF exploit. And really, the only way you're going to catch this is if you're searching heavily on Safari and you end up on a site that's got the exploit where you could be affected. Vista Service Pack 1 is already available out on the net. It's being handed around to people to share on the BitTorrent sites. So if you can't wait for it, it's out there available, but I would highly recommend you wait for the regular release. There is some limitations in the release that they're seeing on the street. So, but if you can't wait another second, link will be up in the show notes on, you know, basically some information about it. All right, I had to laugh here about this, and you know, I don't even know if NEC is still in business. I need to Google them. But the Secret Diary of Steve Jobs has an article about NEC officially announces a Vista downgrade program. is NEC still in business? I didn't even know they sold any computers. Maybe they do overseas. I don't know. But actually, this article is coming from ZDNet.co.uk. So must be they are still in the computer business somewhat. So it's basically more jabs at Microsoft on Vista. So, but oh, the Japanese computer supplier NEC has officially launched a product to let network administrators downgrade machines running Vista to XP. So this is kind of funny. So this is a Japanese company that's doing this. So anyway, this is made available by an OEM over there. Okay, those undersea cables that were cut, those three cables, two of them they think were cut by a anchor. They actually found an anchor close to the cables. Those are being repaired, and they expect them to be all fixed by the 10th. So internet traffic over there should get back completely to normal. Hey, there's a good article over on Slashdot, and, you know, I've kind of was thinking about this today as I had tagged this up, and I was thinking about what would be the best laptop to use for going around the world. And while I have no idea which one would be the best, I know that I have subjected some laptops to some very arduous conditions, desert, being out in the Middle East and having finely grained talcum powder type sand completely saturate my fans and vents on some different PCs before, and none of them fare real well. Even some of those toughest Panasonic Toughbooks, they're not that tough. I know it for opinion. I think over the course of a couple of years, not intentionally, but just because of wear and tear, destroyed a couple of them. So what do you guys think is the best laptop that one could have for going around the world? If you were going to be going places where there wasn't power, if you're going to be going to places where you're backpacking stuff in but still needed a PC to use on a regular basis, something that was semi-rugged, ultra-portable, what would you recommend? And I'm thinking maybe that if you wanted to buy a couple, maybe buy those ASUS Asus PCs that are like $399 that it comes with Linux running on them, but you can load Windows XP if you want. They're pretty small, they're pretty portable. Batteries last quite a while. That might be, you know, a laptop that would, and I don't know how durable they are, but that's one laptop I thought would might work out good. Because, you know, if it breaks and you just throw the thing away, hate to say it that way, but that's kind of what it would be if you were on a around the world on a world trip. What did I do just here? I just messed up my linkage in my notes. Okay, there we go. Bring it back up. All right, Microsoft has responded to the Save XP petition, and this is kind of hilarious, really, because Microsoft's decision to essentially stop making available Windows XP to OEMs at the end of June is really, you know, has probably concerned all of us. And they have basically said, Microsoft has basically responded and said that they are going to see what their vendors and customers feel about the pending termination of making Windows XP available. Yet, they kind of snub what's being done by PC World in their survey. And I want to thank all of you that went over and took the survey from the show. Actually, it's InfoWorld's, excuse me, not PC World, it's InfoWorld Save XP petition. So it's kind of ironic that it's their customers that are ones that are doing this survey. So why not respond directly to, you know, to their customer base instead of saying, oh, we're going to talk to our OEMs, and, you know, they talked around it. It's kind of funny. It really was. Okay, those of you that have iMacs, you're going to get a chuck out of this. Danish police, I guess, we're investigating some sort of stolen credit card or something, and they asked a individual if they could inspect their PC, and he was on an open network, I guess. The guy said, yeah, go ahead and take it. And when the police got there to take the PC, the roommate was there, and this guy had an old 1G iMac, and they were tripping out because they didn't realize that the, you know, the screen was the computer. You know, the whole, it was just sitting on the desk is what it was, And they were like, where's the computer? Where's the, you know? And these guys were from their computer security division. So it tells me that the Danish police are not really up to speed on Macs. If they didn't know that the PC was contained within the device, it's just pretty shocking. It really is. But it is kind of funny. But I guess the guy argued with them for quite a while. They said, hey, it's there. That's it. You know, and they were looking underneath the desk and trying to figure it out. And yeah, they were really up to date on what's going on in with technology. All right. Any of you out there that listen to the show from British Columbia? I think we've got a few. British Columbia people in Canada are facing enhanced, they're going to be issued enhanced driver's licenses. This is laying the groundwork for a national identity card that's going to be similar between the United States and Canada. And the Canadians are not real happy about this. They think it's very intrusive. They're less, they're very, I guess, how should I say it? They're going to put their hand out to the government saying, no, we don't want this. They're much more non-compliant, I guess, to this type of stuff than most Americans are at this point. But it will be curious to see. So I really would like to hear some feedback from anybody that is listening to the show from British Columbia on what you think about this enhanced driver's license. It's basically a national ID card that they're pushing upon you there. Love to hear your feedback on this. All right, over on OpenID at openid.net. Wow, really moving here. The OpenID Foundation announced that Google, IBM, Microsoft, VeriSign, and Yahoo have all joined the board. So this is big. This is very, very, very big. So we've got a lot of companies now that are on the OpenID bandwagon here. And today there's over 10,000 websites that accept OpenID. Actually, our podcast FAQ site actually will accept OpenID logins right now, also, along with normal logins as well. At some point, we're going to introduce this on all our properties to make OpenID a viable login mechanism. But we had kind of talked about, do we want to run our own server and have our own, you know, so that our open IDs, people that are part of our communities, could use those IDs to go other places. If you're part of our community, would you like to have a single ID from us that would get you into other sites as well? Do you think that would be something viable for us to do, or would we be better just to let you log in with your Google account or your Yahoo ID? What would be better? So love to hear those of you that are part of our community, what you'd like to see. I'm kind of thinking that later because I just don't know if we want to support the cost. Okay, on Blog Mastero, jeez, Magistro, I don't even know how to pronounce this. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes. There's some professional tips on how to increase your... Why would you have a website? You know, I'm really a master here of the English... I'm really a master here of the English language. So if I can't pronounce this, I'm not stupid. Oh, I'm so glad I can laugh at myself. I really am. But anyway, you guys can check out these professional tips on how to increase blog subscribers. Some of it's pretty self-aware, but you guys can check it out. It's in the show notes. All right, how many of you are familiar with Perian? Perian. If you use QuickTime, you need Perian. It's a free open source QuickTime component that adds native support for many popular video formats. I love this thing. It is absolutely the truth. It's a Swiss Army knife for QuickTime. Any Windows user that uses QuickTime, you need this plugin. I'm just telling you right now, you just need it. And it'll give you a lot of functionality that QuickTime would not be able to give you otherwise. And great for, you know, doing conversions, bringing AVI files, you name it. This is a cool, and I found about this in the Bloghouse. I was complaining about the process we were going through, and a guy said, well, why aren't you just using QuickTime? I'm like, well, that won't load that file. And I'm like, well, if you have Parian, QuickTime will load the AVI file, then you can make it a .m4v or MP4. And I just about wanted to beat my head against a table because we'd been struggling for a couple of days. And I had asked on this show, and I had asked in the blog, and no one had been able to point me in the right direction. But here, this is open source tool that is totally awesome. Again, Perian.org. You need this, especially Windows users are running QuickTime. This thing is awesome. It really, actually, it only runs on Macs. Okay. It's not a PC-based product. It is a Mac-based product. So it's, we were using our Macs to do the video editing and had the .avi file. So I apologize there. I almost led you down the wrong path. So anyway, if you're a Mac user and you're not using this, you need to, especially if you have Windows machines in your household as well. All right, looks like the Senate did something good this week, and with all the other bickering they've been doing, geez, isn't that nuts? Anyway, the Do Not Call registry is set to become permanent. The Senate on Wednesday filed the House and unanimously passed the Do Not Call Improvement Act of 2007 that will permanently prevent salesmen and other telemarketers from making those irritating dinnertime phone calls looking to sell you everything from aluminum siding to zebra insurance. Now, when we moved into our new place, we got a new number. And it wasn't 2 days before we got in there that the calls started coming. And I had kind of gotten used to not getting telemarketing calls because we'd had our number listed on the Do Not Call registration list for a long, long time. So it was irritating. I was slamming the phone on telemarketers. They learned pretty quick I wasn't going to put up with it. But we're on the Do Not Call list now. So hopefully, I kept telling them, we have sent our info to the Do Not Call list. Take me off your call list. Bang. I don't know how much good it does, but that's at least what we were doing. Okay, AT&T plans major 3G expansion ahead of second-gen iPhone. Can you believe that? We're already talking about second-gen iPhone. And it looks like that they're going to be really pushing to get the eVideo 3G ramped up bigger in the United States. And they're going to be updating, rolling out 1,500 additional cell towers. And they're going to be working on the top 100 U.S. cities. So don't know if this is going to help those of you that are, outside of general areas that may not have eVideo right now, but they're going to kick it up here. But they're saying that this new network will, support standard 3G download speeds. So this is going to happen by late May and June when the next 3G iPhone is going to be ready for the market. So maybe that's a good reason to get rid of the phone I have now anyway. Who wants to have an Edge phone? Not me. It's already too slow. So that's why I'm thinking the Nokia is going to be the way to go. All right, Time Warner is going to be ditching the AOL dial-up business. So they're trying to find a buyer for it. I wonder if Earthlink will buy it. AOL dial-up. Going to be going to the sales block. It's losing money and losing users by, I guess, AOL right now is just like this sucking wound that is draining money out of Time Warner. Can't say that I didn't say it would happen. But anyway, they're trying to get rid of the dial-up division. I guess that's where the biggest wound is. And we'll see if they get rid of it. But they did have some earnings, and it wasn't any help of AOL, that's for sure, on their revenues for the last quarter, but they're trying to get rid of it. So we'll see if Earthlink or one of those other companies will swoop it up and pick it up. Earthlink still has a pretty big dial-up audience. Okay, top 10 mistakes people make when starting a business. I thought this was pretty interesting. I have this up in the show notes. Something new that's coming, and I can't wait till this happens. Consumers can scan bank deposits at home. It's called Fiserv Check Free. Lets consumers scan checks at home and deposit them into bank accounts. It's a online baking service provider, Check Free Corp, is rolling out the technology that could mean consumers will no longer have to go to a bank for branch to deposit checks. This is wonderful. I absolutely can't wait for this. I absolutely hate going to the bank. I hate going in. I hate going to the, you know, my wife always goes inside, drives me crazy. I use the ATM machine. I very rarely go to a teller because I just have to stand in line. You know, if you can't do it online and you can't do it via the ATM, I don't want to do it. Okay, I read the full eMarketer came out with a podcasting report, and I have access to the full 20-some page report, and I guess I ought to talk about that on another show, but they're reporting that podcasting is reaching 18.5 million people. I think their numbers are, quite frankly, really off on that number. In other words, they think there's 18.5 million total listeners right now. They said in 2008, it's going to grow to 28. By 2012, it's going to go to 65. And they say the active podcast audience is only 6.5 million people. And those are people that download more than a couple shows a month. I really, based on what I'm seeing and the numbers of, you know, unique IPs that we're tracking at Raw Voice and our stats service, I think they're really off on these numbers. I really, really do. But we'll talk about the full report here. Maybe we'll do it during our Raw Voice report when we do this weekend. Okay, I want to thank the folks over at PodcasterTips.com for announcing the podcast FAQ site. And, of course, oh, that article on the eMarketer was from Doug Kay's website. And also, he sent me an email. We'll talk about that in a few moments. He clarified his position on the pay-per-post stuff or pay-per-play, and he gave me a good clarification. I'm going to read that in the emails. I want to thank Doug for sending that to me. He really kind of clarified what was going on there, and I know Doug listens to the show, so I'm definitely going to follow up with his follow-up email so that you guys will know what he had to say about what I had said. So I'll have that here in a few minutes. But again, thanks to PodcasterTips.com for their write-up of Podcast FAQ. Also, thisisjustin.com. Thank you for writing that again. It's for Podcast FAQ. And trying to thank everyone that's doing that. Every link into that website helps. If you do a podcast-FAQ search on Google, I think we're number three there. We figured it would take 2 months to get to number one. I don't know if we'll ever get to number one because Apple's ahead of us. And another website, too, that is kind of a, you can tell it's really been search engine optimized. We haven't worked on that too hard, but external links will definitely help. Okay, I'm into the end of regular comments here, or actually regular news stuff. And I'm going to go ahead and kick into the voicemail portion of the show here. And we'll get into that here in a second. But as always, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. It's late here. And I'm going to have a very late night because I'm going to have to pack as well tonight to move to the new hotel tomorrow afternoon. Okay, here we go on the first voicemail.
Hey Todd, it's Tom calling from Chicago. Just want to make sure you're okay. I looked at the weather map yesterday, and the state of Michigan was just entirely white. So not that you had a choice in picking your time to travel back to the Midwest, but man, you are here during a time that is just lots of snow. So hopefully you guys are okay. Have safe travels out there, and enjoy the snow. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to send some of this back home? I was thinking you could sell it on eBay. You know, you actually could give it away for free snow from the Midwest, and then you ship it next day air, and you package it in dry ice, and you charge them $100 for shipping. So anyway, I'm sure your kids are dreading hearing about the fact dad's in maybe 12 inches of snow. So anyway, have a safe trip throughout the Midwest area and whatnot, and the show sounds good. It sounds great on the road, so don't worry about it, okay? Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hey, thank you, my friend, for those nice comments. And, you know, I'm staying away from the snow. I was up there last weekend, enjoyed it, the 4 to 6 inches we had on the ground. I blasted out of there, came down here to the Indianapolis area, and it was relatively warm. Then I went through, like I said earlier in the show, went through those thunderstorms that ripped through here. And now I'm back to two layers in my winter jacket. It's cold and, you know, sleety, slushy, yucky stuff. Yeah, wait 15 minutes and change. But I called my mom last night. And I said, hey, I saw in the news that Jackson got 20 inches of snow. I said, how much you got there? And she goes, well, I got like a couple of inches. But turns out that the line of where the snow went was like started like 12 miles north of her. So we were chuckling about that, you know, how you can go from one extreme to the other within 12 miles. So she missed it on the second go-round. But yeah, just give it a couple of days. Something else will happen. But thanks for the call, and yes, having fun out here in the Midwest, but I am definitely, you know, that sending snow back to Hawaii is a great idea, but I've been kind of quiet with the kids, and letting, because, you know, if I say, oh, it's snowing here, and that just builds resentment. What they don't know does not hurt them in this instance. So far as I know, Dad is working very hard and missing them, which I am, but I don't need to add agony to the point that there's snow here and they could be building snowmen. I already get enough of that as it is different times of the year. So, but you enjoy it. I'm going to get the heck out of here soon. Probably going over to D.C. isn't going to be much better, but usually it's a little more temperate over there where it's not as bad. But anyway, let's go into the next voicemail.
Todd, you are the bomb, my friend. You are the best podcast out there. Started podcasting last summer. You were the first podcast I found, and I've yet to find one that I like as much. Something interesting I saw today, I live north of Atlanta, and about 10 miles north of the perimeter today, I saw a Windows Live local van with cameras mounted all over the top of it. So this may be old news to you, but it's the first I've heard of it, and thought it was just another sign of Microsoft trying to keep up with Google. Anyway, love the show. Keep it up, man, and let's see you on the show. Bye.
Hey, thanks for that. Windows Live Local on the move, huh? Man, you see that again. Get your camera out and take a picture of that. But boy, you're making my head swell here. Thanks for the nice comments about the show. And what was your show? You said you started doing a show. Man, plug your show on the show. Whenever you call another show, this is here's some tips from a seasoned podcaster. You always mention your own show at least twice and give the domain at least once. And when I was on with Carrie Holtzman from Computer America last week, I sent Carrie an email after I'd been on for an hour. I said, hey, thanks for having me on the show. I definitely appreciate it. And but, you know, every time you get a chance, plug, plug, plug. But thanks for being part of the Ohana here. All right, let me go ahead and get into the actual email. And I got to turn my head kind of funny. I'm not actually talking directly into the microphone. It's kind of off to the side. And what have I got here? I've got some links from Frank. And he said, here's a link to the podcatchers I use in my Linux system. And I'm going to put these up. One is Podracer from, it's over on the SourceForge website. I have that link up in the show notes. And he's got a couple articles about what he learned about setting it up. So he also has some comments about on Friday's podcast about the listener that had a problem with me mentioning GoDaddy. And let's see if he wants me to actually say anything about this. Oh, and thanks for also blogging the podcast FAQ site too. He says, goes on, well, I don't want to go into this, but I do appreciate your comments on GoDaddy and the feedback there. I do appreciate that, Frank. I don't want to go into this anymore, but thanks for your support on that. And also, he had some info on Linux. He said, Linux is ready for the desktop. It has been for 3 years. I've been using it, and probably longer. It does have a little bit of a learning curve, but no more than DOS, actually less than DOS. On the other hand, the great variety of choices available to someone who wants to sample Linux can be overwhelming. The best choices for the newbie would probably be Ubuntu. And I think the best choice for the power user is Slackware. It's what I run on my website. Not that I'm a power user. I am at best a power hobbyist. And it's rock solid and doesn't crash. That's over at slackware.com. He says, suggest to anyone I know who is interested in Linux to download a Nopix Live CD. You can burn the ISIO to a CD, then boot your computer to the CD. It creates a RAM disk, allows you to play around with it while never actually touching the hard drive. You have a fully functional Linux system, except that you can't save anything in a hard drive for experiments. That way, people can make sample Linux without actually having to install it. And to be in Indianapolis in February, he says, not. I've been there in February. You realize that if the Earth were flat, there would be nothing whatsoever to break the wind between you and the North Pole. You know, you are absolutely right, Frank. From Indianapolis north, it's like a skating rink. Now, you get south of Indy, and the closer you get to Louisville, you start to get a little hilly action. But, you know, that area between, you know, Indianapolis, Fort Wayne, and southern Michigan is as flat as it is in Kansas. It really is. Now, down here in the, essentially around the, where I was at in the Bloomington area, it's not flat. It's actually, it gets a little hilly. But thanks, Frank. Got an email from Gary. He says, hey, Todd, nice job at CES. I know that I'm a little late, but you know the whole time shifting thing means we all get to watch when it's convenient. I had just had a small problem report, which is that a bunch of the clips when downloading using the Zune came through perfect video, but no audio. I also own iPods, and so using iTunes, I was able to listen to each one, which brings me to the other observation I made. The audio only played through the left channel, no audio at all on the right side. Well, I can explain that. Was this intentional, or maybe it's just on my end? Of course, I enjoyed yours and Andy's coverage. Thanks for taking the time to do it. I've been encoding a little differently the last couple of days. Been using my Elgato Turbo.264 and actually using the default iPod export in Final Cut Pro. And anyone else that's got a Zoom that's not hearing the audio? And as far as the left channel goes, is we had left the right channel turned off for the first couple of days. The audio, just what a bunch of idiots we are. That tells you how professional we are in recording video. But I noticed it sometime on Monday, so the videos will have both channels here shortly. And I probably am too stupid to figure out how to get it right in Final Cut to make it so it sounds mono, but you know, it is what it is, but thanks for the email. But anyone else with a Zoom that's not getting audio for the video, let me know. And also, I need to know which ones. Tell me which ones. That'll help me narrow it down. Here's the reply from Doug K. He said, hey, Todd, just heard your February 4th show and posted this clarification on my blog. He says, update on February 4th, Todd Cochran said he was surprised that the Conversation Network had offered a pay-to-play service to companies. My mistake for not explaining this. First of all, these arrangements were only made with a few universities and other nonprofits. We have never produced a program for a for-profit company when the company provided funding for the program. Second, we didn't offer this as a service to just anyone. We always initiated the relationship based upon what we thought our listeners would like to hear. We selected nonprofit organizations and suggested that we could publish podcasts of their events if they were willing to cover the cost. But as I said above, we no longer pursue such relationships. And he's out in Kona right now, enjoying his vacation in Hawaii. He's out on his way to Maui. He's actually probably going to Maui today. But Doug, thanks for the follow-up on that. And that clarifies everything. And actually, really, really relieves me, my friend. I was really kind of shocked when I read that initially. So, but thanks for the clarification. Okay, an email from Bree. She said, hey, Todd, I have my Yahoo pages. I have Yahoo Mail. I participate in this Sansota Family Registry on Yahoo. Periodic, I blog on Yahoo 360. My girlfriend found her old boyfriend on Yahoo Personals. Don't know if that's good or bad. I have about 5 friends with Yahoo Mail as their first email service. So yeah, Todd, some of us do use Yahoo. And see you later in Bree in D.C. Bree? okay, I'll be quiet. Thanks. All right, I got an email from Brian. Hey, Todd, you played my voicemail on my show before show before in which I discussed manufacturer minimum advertising pricing and the possible effect of recent legal decisions. Thanks for playing that. Also privileged that and I sent an email offering you lower cost IT support for your servers here in Poland. I think on a show after that you mentioned a similar offer from Holland, so I wonder if you didn't get confused. Maybe I did. Anyway, I said in my voicemail that we have a lot in common and I would send another message soon. However, I've been too busy, so I really quickly list some common points here. You were in the Navy and I think somehow associated with aviation. Not any longer. I'm retired now. Yes, my wife is from Japan. His is also. I lived in Asia and he lived in Japan and Philippines. You're setting up your own company. He is too. You're a geek. I am. Yeah, there are some definite crosses there, Brian. Anyway, today I got a few links I thought you might like that were rather cool. Hope you enjoy them. And I'll have these linked up on the in the show notes. Because after hearing your discussion on the show, the relative distance between planets, I wondered if you'd seen this in regards to the relative size of planets. It's if this is accurate, which I can't say I researched, it is rather staggering. And I'll have that link up to on the show notes as well. I got an email from Robert in Tennessee. He said, hey, and Robert, I hope you're okay out there. He said, title, RIAA wants to cut artist royalties by 9%. Apple wants them at 4%. Artists just want to eat. And yeah, have you heard about this? The RIAA wants to cut artist royalties again? You know, they're not making enough money off of college students and people that are suing, yet they have to sue artists. Give me a break. All right, let me look at the time here, where we're at. All right, get an email from Doug. He said, hey, Todd, just had a link you may find worth checking out if you have a second to look at it. It's a DC-based company called Bridget.com. It uses staff, editors, and writers from reader community to craft 100-word abstracts of high-quality stories regardless of format. I'll check that out. And thanks for that, Doug. I do appreciate that. He said, also, speaking of Facebook, Bridget is about to officially unveil a new Facebook widget that will allow users to post share links to abstracts of articles and features they're reading. Here's a link. And he says, forget to add. I know you mentioned my link back in November. So the new thing is in the Facebook app, company launches Facebook app. Look at that, Doug. Thanks. Got an email from Kevin. Hey, Todd, just thought I'd let you know your newsletter is being sent to me twice every show, and today it came three times. Can you check to see what's up, Kevin? Kevin, I apologize. I really do. I thought that was fixed. I've been monitoring it. I have no idea, my friend, why that stupid thing is doing that, but it definitely is. Anyone else, please email me, and we'll get to the bottom of it. We will, and if it becomes too much of a hassle, unsubscribe. I'd become annoyed as well. Mark, hey Todd, great site. Check out the funny videos with the famous yellow robot. Keep on developed in part of at a Carnegie Mellon University. There's also a video where Daniel Wilson battles with his phone. His latest is how to build a robot army. You can see them. And he gives me the YouTube links. I'll put those up. Got an email from Matt. Hey, Todd, I've been listening to your podcast for a short time now and really enjoy it. Here's a link to a website that shows you how to bypass all of the touch tone prompts when you call, well, pretty much everywhere. It's called dialahuman.com. Well, that might be related to some of the stuff that we talked about. Got an email from Joe. He said, hey, Todd, you convinced me. My hosting service and domain registration are both up for renewal, and I'm moving everything to GoDaddy. He said, okay, the price has helped a lot, too. I'm paying $4 a month for some dirt-cheap hosting with dirt-cheap service, and I was shocked to find I could get more space, more bandwidth, a highly respected and well-known provider for less than $4 a month. So you mean you're paying $4 now for a provider that's not doing very well, and you're going to be paying less than $4 with GoDaddy with better performance? Good deal. Let me know how it goes. Tell me how the transition goes. Love to hear your feedback on that. I'm always looking for, you know, essentially how people have, what experience they've had with their move. Okay, got an email from, hey Todd, this is Dave from Lone Star Starter, just tuning in, however. I love your cast. I have seen you mention this before, but it seems pretty big on the internet. It's the fight between the Scientology, in other words, the Scientology project, and also the Time Warner thing. Yeah, we've talked about that. And I told all my friends who use Roadrunner Internet, and they seemed to be annoyed by the fact that Time Warner would do such a thing. I called about my concerns, and the guy on the line told me he would do whatever he could to please me. It was only after the threat of disconnection when he really listened to me. I was also wondering if you have any old laptops just sitting around collecting dust that I could have to word process on. Great show, Todd. See you later. David, I don't know if I've got any old ones that laying around that I could give up just for... Does anyone have a laptop laying around that maybe we could hook David up with? Sounds like he needs a laptop. And if anyone's got one that would work just for word processing, drop me an email. And we'll see if we can get David hooked up with a laptop. But thanks for your email, David. Definitely appreciate it. Got an email from Yitz. He said, "Hey, Todd, if anyone has a Nokia Symbian S60 handset, there's a new program that you can load that turns your phone into a 3G connection into a Wi-Fi handset. I tried it on my Nokia E61, and when I tried running the software, it would reboot my phone, so be careful. Also, you probably want an unlimited data plan, so I have this link up." Got an email from Karen. Oh, this is something I should talk about. This actually came from a PR person. I'll save this for another show, but I'm familiar with some stuff going on in those of you that have alarm systems that are wired. In other words, if you're using an actual phone circuit for that, you'll want to pay attention to the next show. Got an email from Jimmy. He says, "Hey, thank you and your readers at Geek News might enjoy our list of top 25 Linux games for 2008. And I'll have that available. His website's over at whdb.com. Got an email from Christian. He says, "Hey, Todd, I read anywhere from 20 to 50 books per year, and mainly depending on what I find and how much podcast I listen to. Podiobooks.com has helped a lot. I love reading in English, and I'm currently devouring and reading 2 to 5 of Kevin Anderson's Saga of Seven Sons series, highly recommended. You know my stance on DRM, so you might be able to guess it isn't from Audible." He says, "I'm onto the meter bandwidth stuff. I'm glad that I live in Sweden since competition here is so hard that this crazy idea won't have a chance unless all ISPs join forces and stick to the same price, and that's illegal in being a cartel or some such. Broadband here means almost exclusively DSL, and owner of Copper, it's called Telia Sonera, is required to treat competition fairly by law, so there are at least 5 major players that can get into most homes here." Wow. He says, "The price for a 24 megabit DSL line here is around $40 to $60, depending on which ISP you use. So, interesting math might be in place. A 24 megabit DSL line can download 8 megs, download 8 megs per second, 253 gigs per day for a whopping 7.6 terabytes a month. At optimal use, and I've got a friend who probably is near that." Oh, what's he downloading? He said, "Imposing a 30 gig." month limit on the amount of to letting you use 0.4% of what they've been telling you what you pay for. He said, "My podcasting habit alone amounts to some 20 gigs a month." He says, "If you add in the other stuff I'm downloading, and I'm not going to say where he's downloading from, I end up somewhere north of the 40, typically month peaks around 60 to 100 gigs. He says, "To sum this up, the situation is not the consumer's problem. The ISPs have upsold so many customers telling them they really need 24 megabit DSL line. The impression given all along was that you pay for speed and nothing but speed. While I realize that a consumer using his 424 megabit will cost ISP a lot more than he pays, that's not our problem." So I agree as well. He says, "Apologies for a long mail. Feel free to quote parts of it." I did. And best regards, Christian in Sweden. He said, he pulled some math numbers for me as well. So I think that's, got some more. Let me look at what time we're at here for recording. Wow, we're already over. Got some info from Matthew out of Sydney. He said, "Good evening, Todd. First of all, thanks for all the work that you put into the show. I've only recently been able to listen again as my old Zen died after many years of great service. I would like to know if there's a way that I can sync/download podcasts such as yours to my iPod Touch using the wireless interface. I'm not sure if it is only me, but I have not been able to find a way, and this seems really strange to me, as I'm sure that heaps of people would love this feature. Hopefully yourself or someone in the audience might have an answer or might even know if Apple's looking to such a feature." So in other words, he's got a, what did he say, iPod Touch. Well, yeah, you can get the podcast on your iPod Touch. All you really have to do is set that up in iTunes and, tell it which podcast you want it to, that you're subscribed to, and have it sync it to it. It should be relatively easy within the configuration of the of iPod or in iTunes. So That should be pretty straightforward. I really do have to finish up here tonight. I got an email from Sam, from Carl, from John, from some other folks too, and I'll have their comments on the next show. I'll cover it then. But we got to get out of here. Thanks for listening, and of course, thanks for being part of the HANA geeknews at gmail.com, geeknews at gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline with your comments, concerns, questions, rants, raves, threats, whatever it may be, 619-342-7365. And of course, I want to appreciate all of you for hanging tough here with me during the show. It's late. It's going to be a very long night, but and a very early morning. So we'll see you probably this weekend on a video or something on Geek News Central, or we're on Raw Voice. So keep your eyes peeled. The Raw Voice team is going to have a lot of fun this weekend, and should have some cool things to talk about on Monday about that as well. So everyone take care. Have a great, great weekend. Be safe out there with all this crazy weather. And if any of you have but anybody down in Tennessee or those areas that were affected, again, condolences go out to them. And wishing everybody the best of speed of getting back up on their feet. All right, everyone take care. Aloha. Take care. Bye-bye.